Good evening. Well, welcome. We've gathered to observe a Jewish Seder where they commemorate the Passover meal. Our purpose is not to simply do the Jewish Seder, but to observe and learn from it and how Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper out of the Jewish Seder. What we're going to do is have an explanation, the different parts of the Seder, but at the same time, we're going to participate. We'll experience it as well as learn about it. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we've gathered together to explore and to experience just the special event known as the Seder. And Father, as we spend this time together, we pray that you would use this time for your purposes, that we would gain insight into the richness of your truth, that we would learn just how you established this meal as a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, and Lord, how we can also see how you instituted the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of remembering what Jesus Christ did for us. And so, Father, as we spend this time together, may our hearts be ready. May our hearts be prepared to receive what you have for us. And so, Father, we commit this time to you for your purposes, for your kingdom's sake. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The beginning of the Seder, the leader would recite the Kiddush over the first cup of wine, which will be explained later. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, who hast created the fruit of the vine. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, who hast sustained us and enabled us to reach this season. Don't drink it all at once. What you want to do is take a sip, take a little bit, because we'll use it several times during the meal. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus used this particular cup, this first cup that he shared with his disciples. It reads, "Then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.'" And then what the leader would do is take a moment and do a ceremonial cleansing. A very important part of ceremony is to be ceremonially clean throughout the meal. Jesus did this with a cloth and a basin in John chapter 13. In verses 4 and 5, it records that Jesus rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. A good place to mention that event of Jesus washing the disciples was when he washed the disciples' feet. And he indicated to his disciples that they didn't understand what he was doing, but they would understand later. He instituted it by washing their feet, and he said that they should do this for each other. We're not called to literally wash each other's feet all the time. We are called to serve one another and minister to one another. That's what Jesus was doing. Well, we're going to have an opportunity to do that a little bit tonight as we take different parts of the meal. It's going to be necessary for some of us to get up and serve others who are not sitting directly at the table. At a meal like this at that time, we don't know who all was in that upper room with Jesus. There would have been those who would have been right around the table, and there might have been others who were in the room. There would have been servants to do these things in those days, but we're going to serve one another. And so those who are not at the immediate table need to be served. And so someone's going to have to take the initiative, which is what we're called to do for Christ, take the initiative in each part of the meal. We'll explain the different items as we go along, but at this point in the Seder, the carpus, we're using lettuce, it could be parsley, would be taken and it would be dipped in the salty water. It represents the tears of being slaves in Egypt. And the lettuce with the salty water gives a bitter taste. When the carpus is dipped into the salty water during the Seder, that prompts a child to ask a question. Why is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights, we eat leavened or unleavened bread, but this night, only unleavened bread. On all other nights, we eat all kinds of herbs, but this night, only bitter herbs. Why do we dip herbs twice? On all other nights, we eat meat roasted, stewed, or boiled. But on this night, why only roasted meat? And then when those questions are asked, it gives the leader of the meal the opportunity to explain what God has done for his children. God had called Abraham out of idolatry to serve him, promising to bring him into a land that he was giving to him and to his descendants. And Abraham dwelt in that promised land as a foreigner. And he died there, and his son Isaac. And then Jacob, by his son Joseph, went to dwell in Egypt to escape the famine. And after 400 years, a Pharaoh arose who didn't know Joseph, who feared the great nation that was growing within them of the children of Israel. And he made the Jews to be his servants, to do his labor as slaves. And when they cried out from their suffering, God sent his servant Moses to lead the people out of Egypt and to bring them into the promised land, to bring them to the mountain to receive God's law. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses wrote, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. And then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers." This meal is to commemorate that event, the exodus from slavery from Egypt. Now we have several items at the table. First, there's the Passover Seder plate. And on this plate are several items, one of which is a roasted shank bone of a lamb. That's known as the zeroah, or the arm or the shoulder. It represents the Paschal sacrifice, which is no longer possible because of the destruction of the temple. Also on the Seder plate is a hard-boiled egg, the betza, and it represents the sacrifices that were given at the temple. The next item is parsley or lettuce, which is the karpas, which we've already experienced. It also represents the slavery in Egypt, and when it's dipped in the salt water, the tears, it represents the bitter tears, and it's eaten as the first course of the Passover Seder. And then there's also kind of sweet brownish mixture of chopped apples and nuts and raisins, cinnamon and wine. That's called the cheresef. It represents the mortar and the red clay of Egypt, which the children of Israel used when they were forced to make bricks for Pharaoh. The obvious question that comes to mind at that point is that, well, why, if this mixture represents the bitter labor of Egypt, then why is it sweet to the taste? Because when we knew that our redemption drew nigh, even the bitterest of labor was sweet, because we knew we were going to be free soon. Also on the Seder plate is a whole horseradish root, and then a chopped or ground part of the horseradish. And that's known as the Chezereth and the Maror. They represent the bitterness and the harshness of the slavery in Egypt. All of the elements, all of the symbolism is a remembrance of the slavery, the bitterness of that slavery, and then the deliverance from that. Also, at the Passover Seder table is the unleavened bread, or the matzos. And it's placed there as three loaves, stacked one on top of another. They have in them, in the matzos, there are the baking marks, which look like stripes, and then there are little pinholes all through this thing. There are many pinholes. Isaiah 53 in verse 5, it says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Zechariah chapter 12 in verse 10, he says, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. The wine at the table, there would actually be four cups, or they would refill it four times if there was only one cup. And those four cups represented God's, the four verbs of redemption in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, where God tells Moses to tell the children of Israel what he's going to do. The first cup, he says, I will bring you out. The second one is, I will rescue you. And it's important to remember, the third one is, I will redeem you. And the fourth cup is, I will take you as my people. And then a special cup is placed at an empty chair, anticipating Elijah's arrival. Each year, there's the hope that Elijah is going to return. So there's a place left for him at the end of the table over there, where the empty chair, and that's purposely there for Elijah. We're hoping that maybe this year, or maybe next year. We anticipate that maybe next year. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Elijah will return. And so the Jewish people are looking for that. Also at the table is the Haggadah. And that's like the official book of the Seder. It contains all the how, the when, the why, for every single part of the event. And from that book, we would sing a psalm. Now in front of you have a sheet of paper that has a couple of psalms that many of us are familiar with, which the Haggadah would call for from Psalms 113 and 114. We sing it as a praise song from the Psalms, and we call it Give Thanks. And then at this time, we take our second cup, which is the cup, I will rescue you. And then for a second ceremonial cleansing, see, the imagery of the ceremony of cleansing comes from the time of the tabernacle and from the temple, as the priests served in the tabernacle and they served in the temple. Their hands and their feet would get dirty, because particularly in the tabernacle, because there was no floor, so they were on the dirt ground, and so as they served, they would get dirty, and so periodically throughout their work schedule, they would have to go outside of the tabernacle, outside the temple. They would go out to the labor of cleansing, and they would get themselves ceremonially clean, and then they'd come back and serve again. And that's a picture for us today of, as we serve the Lord in this world, we bump up against a lot of sin. And so we can get touched by that, and we can also slip into sin ourselves, and we need to be clean. We need to be pure as we serve the Lord. And so we need to periodically, as we walk with the Lord, as we serve the Lord, we have to periodically step back, step aside, and kind of make things right. Get our hearts right and pure and ready to serve. In front of you, you want to take this and pass it along. The broken pieces of matzos are in one of the bowls. And what we're going to do is we're going to dip it into the cheriseth. This was a very important moment in the Passover meal that Jesus was celebrating and enjoying with his disciples. And at this point, there would be a prayer of thanksgiving to him who brings forth bread from the earth. And then there would be a prayer of thanksgiving for the commandment to eat the unleavened bread. Our God, we thank you that you provide for us in every way, that you provide for our physical needs. And we thank you for the commandment that you first gave to the children of Israel to eat unleavened bread because they needed to be ready at your command. And Lord, we need to be ready to move and serve you today. And so we thank you that you call us to live ready for your service. This is not the bread with this matzos in the cheriseth. This was not the bread that Jesus broke when he said, "This is my body." That comes later. This was not that bread. At this point in the meal, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 21 states, "Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.'" And then in John chapter 13, verses 23-25, the apostle records, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. And then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, 'Lord, who is it?' And in verses 26 and 27, Jesus answered, 'It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it.' And having dipped the bread, just as we did, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, and then Jesus said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.' And then in verse 30, having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. Judas was not there for the rest of that meal, that night. It was at this point he was gone from the meal. And at this point, the meal would be served. So enjoy and share together. With the Passover Seder, an important thing to note is there is no dessert. That all comes separately after the Seder event. They'd clear off the table, and then there would be all the desserts, and there would be all kinds of things. But it wasn't as part of the meal. It was as a separate thing. Enjoy the meal. At this point, there's a need for another ceremonial cleansing. A good example for each one of us that we need to be always ready to confess our sins, and we need to always be ready to make things right with the Lord and anyone else if it's necessary, that we can serve Him with a pure heart, with a good conscience. It was at this point when Jesus began to institute the Lord's Supper. The bread and the third cup. Anybody remember what the third cup was? It was the cup of redemption. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-25, the Apostle Paul summarized the event at that meal, and then also in Jesus' words from Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, it reads that in the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We're serving it as we normally would to demonstrate how Jesus instituted what we observe today out of that Seder meal. Thank you. At this point, the Haggadah would prescribe a psalm from the group of Psalms 113 to 118, and we have one that we also sing, which is on your sheet, called "I Exalt Thee." And then we would take the fourth cup. "I will take you as my people." And then Jesus with his disciples, they sang a closing song. It says in Matthew 26 and verse 30, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." If you turn over the sheet, on the back side is the old rugged cross. Could we all stand as we sing? Let's conclude our time together with some personal prayer. We just spend a little bit of time in prayer as long as the Lord leads you, and then leave quietly. Considering those who are still praying, if you do stay and to fellowship, or you stay to help clean up, it's kind of be considerate of those who are still praying. Let's pray.